Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody, and thank you, Sotirios. Over the last few minutes, President Obama has been holding a news conference in St. Petersburg, Russia, where he is for the G20 summit. And I want to play one of his answers. He was asked if he would go ahead on strikes even without congressional support, if Congress votes no next week, and then we will get to one of our undecided local congressmen, Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn and Queens, and take your calls from his district with how you think he should vote, and we'll see what he thinks about all of this. But what if they vote no? Here is President Obama asking if he would attack Syria anyway.
I think it'd be a mistake for me to jump the gun and speculate, because right now I'm working to get as much support as possible out of Congress. But I'll repeat something that I said in Sweden when I was asked a similar question. I did not put this before Congress just as a political point or as symbolism.
I did not put this before Congress as a political ploy or just symbolism. So he may not be promising, but he seems to be signaling that he may, in fact, not go ahead with military strikes if Congress votes no. And so this may be more than symbolic. And so real power to people like Brooklyn and Queens Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Maybe you saw him on the front page of the New York Times yesterday as an undecided Democrat on this issue, and he joins us now. Congressman Jeffries, so good of you to do this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Good morning.
And listeners, we've been inviting you all week on the station to go to our website and post your message to your member of Congress. Now we invite you to do it in conversation if you live in Congressman Jeffries' district. That's New York's 8th Congressional District, Fort Greene, Brooklyn Heights, Bed-Stuy, Canarsie, Ocean Hill and Brownsville, East Flatbush, East New York, Marine Park, Mill Basin, and Howard Beach. Did I leave anything out?
One or two neighborhoods, Coney Island and Seagate, but you got most of them in.
That is a sprawling district. So, folks, if you live in any of those places, Hakeem Jeffries is probably your congressman. So let's have a District 8 town hall meeting right here, right now. 212-433-WNYC. District 8 listeners only for the next few minutes. Screeners, heads up. District 8 listeners only. Hakeem Jeffries, constituents. 212-433-WNYC. Tell your congressman how you want him to vote or ask him a question. 212-433-9692. And Congressman, where are you as of this minute?
Well, I'm still in the process of reviewing all of the information that's being provided to us by the administration down in Washington, D.C. I went to Washington yesterday for a classified briefing with several members of the administration to get as much firsthand information as I can as it relates to the case that the president is making to us as to why he believes giving him the authority to strike Syria at this moment in time is in our national security interest. I also, at the same time, in the process of talking to as many constituents as I can, as well as reviewing the emails and the call logs that have been coming in from all across the district to get a sense of where folks are in the community as it relates to this issue. And I've got to say, Bryant, that the overwhelming majority of people are opposed to some form of military action, or at least very wary of the possibility and want to make sure that appropriate limitations are put in place to prevent against the type of escalation that we've seen in the Middle East that could possibly lead to us being dragged into another conflict. That's something that does not need to happen, in my view, in Syria. And one of the reasons why I'm very concerned about striking Syria is because the area is so volatile that it is hard to predict against the possibility of further entanglement once you get yourself involved in an intense civil war, the nature of which is going on right now over there.
Let's take some calls. Aaron in Bedford-Stuyvesant. You're on WNYC. Hello, Aaron. Aaron, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi. How are you? Good. Hey, I live in Representative Jeffries District, and I just wanted to know if he has further understanding of who's footing the bill for us to strike Syria. From what I understand, Saudi Arabia might be participating in funding the cruise missiles, but if not, I'd highly encourage him to vote no, since so many people in his district, in this area, really do rely on federal funding for so many other things here at home.
Well, thank you for that observation. It's a very important question. We are trying to get an answer to that question. It's been posed publicly. It's also been posed privately during classified briefings. I think there are conversations that are going on between this country, some of our European allies, as well as the Arab League and countries like Saudi Arabia to discuss who might possibly foot the bill financially as well as participate militarily. So any action that we take is not unilateral. That will be a factor that I will carefully weigh in my consideration for the very reason, Aaron, that you raise. We've got serious domestic issues here at home in the 8th Congressional District, in New York City, all across the country, intense poverty, high unemployment, income inequality that exists, failing public schools. And for the last decade or so, we've wasted hundreds of billions of dollars, in Iraq, in a failed war, misplaced priorities, diversion of resources. And so that's something for us to be concerned about as we evaluate, you know, whether we should get involved in another conflict in the Middle East.
And Aaron articulates one of the biggest questions that I have. I don't know if you saw it, Congressman, but I tweeted out this morning my five biggest unanswered questions.
I didn't get a chance to see it, Brian, but I'd be happy to go over them with you.
I'm going to run down these real quick with you so we can get back to your constituents. But my number one was the same as Aaron's. How much will it really cost? And will the money come from the budget or just add to the debt, like the war in Iraq and Afghanistan? Do you know those answers? Secretary Hagel said tens of millions of dollars the other day, and then they clammed up on that and wouldn't elaborate.
We should not move forward with a congressional vote until we have a number that is as precise as possible. Now, also keep in mind, though, Brian, that they can give us a number for the cost of an initial targeted military strike. But part of the concern here, you got bad actors in Syria, Hezbollah, Iran on one side. We've also got some bad actors amongst the rebel groups, al-Qaeda affiliates, who are part of that civil war. There are some moderates, some reasonable people, it appears, as part of the rebel forces, but there are also some extreme bad actors like al-Qaeda. That's problematic. We don't know with any degree of reasonable certainty what the response will be to a military strike. And the concern is that if things escalate out of control, whether that means the collapse of the Assad regime, plunging us into chaos, similar to what we've seen in Egypt, where there was hope for democracy, but that was swallowed up pretty quickly, or if the Assad regime remains in power, but somehow is emboldened and makes the determination to strike back along with their allies, Hezbollah and Iran, or God forbid, Russia, which is very close to the Assad regime, does that pull us further into a conflict?
Right.
That then costs an exponential amount of money.
All right. So, and I'm going to only ask you one more question from my list of my top five unanswered questions about military action in Syria for time purposes so we can get more of your constituents in. But, folks, our next guest after Congressman Jeffries knows a lot about this, Kenneth Pollack. So I'm going to make sure all my five unanswered questions get asked, and they probably are some of the same that you have. So here's the one more for me for now. How many Syrian civilians does the Pentagon estimate are likely to be killed in this action? Have they given you that in any briefing?
They haven't given us an exact number. The question has been asked, again, both publicly and privately. Now, what they've said, of course, is that they will do everything possible to mitigate the number of civilian casualties and what's often coldly referred to as collateral damage. Any loss of civilian life is a tragic loss. It certainly is a concern that I have and that many of my colleagues have with any strike, particularly when there's reason to believe that the Syrian government, similar to what other Middle Eastern entities have done, will often locate their strategic assets in dense civilian areas, forcing often a situation where a military strike does result in civilian casualties. That would be tragic in this particular instance, and it is a concern that we will continue to articulate privately and publicly to the administration and try and get as precise an answer as we can.
Mitchell in East New York, you're on WNYC with Congressman Jeffries. Hi.
Hi. I would like to ask Mr. Jeffries, I do live in East New York. Can he explain to me, if we live in a democracy, how can we stand by in this country and allow a military-controlled ex-democracy kill its own people that protects, that protests its takeover when we have seen these situations? And we've seen them in the Middle East and Rwanda.
So you support the president, Mitchell, right?
Yes, I do.
Congressman.
Well, listen, you know, that's one of the more compelling reasons that has been articulated by the administration and the president as to why a strike is necessary. I am convinced, based on the information that has been presented to us publicly as well as in the classified context, that chemical weapons were used, that they were used with the knowledge of the regime as well as Assad. They were used against the civilian population in the suburbs of Damascus, and that there were casualties that included innocent children. This was all done in clear violation of international law in terms of the use of chemical weapons. And the problem that exists in this particular context is that it is clear that there should be consequences to the use of chemical weapons in any context, but particularly when used in the midst of a civil war against your own people, against innocents by the Assad regime in an effort to suppress contrarian views that have been articulated. And so the difficulty is, of course, that doesn't mean that the United States can unilaterally act and that we shouldn't seek other means of holding the Assad regime accountable. There are no easy choices in this particular case, and that's what the administration has articulated to us. And so that is one of the points that we will be evaluating, certainly I will, in the run-up to the vote next week.
My guest taking your calls from his constituents, New York 8th Congressional District Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, the freshman from Brooklyn Heights, Bed-Stuy, Canarsie, Ocean Hill, Brownsville, East Flatbush, East New York, Marine Park, Mill Basin, Howard Beach, Coney Island, 212-433-WNYC on WNYC AM, FM, and HD New York, and WNJT FM Trenton, WNJO 90.3 Toms River, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJP 88.5 Sussex, the New York and New Jersey public radio stations at 11 o'clock. And Ed in East Flatbush, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Brian, and Representative Jeffries. Thanks for this opportunity. Representative, I would like to strongly urge you to vote against a military strike, and I'd like to provide some historical context that may be helpful. There are a number of people out there loudly proclaiming that voting against military action would undermine the power of future presidents, and this is a key reason as to why Congress should vote in that way. The continuous growth of the power grabbed by the presidency in the national security state over the last 50 years has led to exactly the sort of reckless actions that you indicated you fear the president may be seeking to undertake.
And Ed, I'm going to leave it there for brevity's sake, but his point is clear. He's concerned about executive power versus congressional power when it comes to making war. Is this one of your issues, Congressman?
Well, we should applaud the president in that regard for taking the step to bring the decision around whether to use military force in reaction to the use of chemical weapons to Congress. And I think we all take our responsibility seriously to deliberate, evaluate the evidence being presented by the administration, but also take into account history, both over time as well as recent history in the Middle East. Now, I've got to tell you, there's a significant amount of war fatigue that the people in the district that I represent are experiencing for good reason. The Afghanistan war was misprosecuted, and the Iraq war was a complete debacle, and we got into it as a result of a fraud perpetrated on the American people by Bush, Cheney, and that crowd. And so there's every reason for us to be skeptical as we move forward and further entangle ourselves in another conflict. Now, the president is one who I support. I stand with him on many issues. He is being saddled with credibility concerns from the previous administration. But on issues of war and peace, particularly when the lives of Americans could be put in harm's way, all of us in the Congress should approach this vote with a healthy degree of skepticism through the lens of history, as you just articulated, and I certainly will be doing that.
Can I ask you before you go, the president in his speech in St. Petersburg a few minutes ago said that anybody in Congress who attends a classified briefing will be convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt. Have you been to any of the classified briefings?
Yes, I did attend a classified briefing yesterday. Now, I have been convinced, I wouldn't say beyond a shadow of a doubt, but I have been convinced that chemical weapons were used by the Assad regime against innocent civilians, including children, in a Damascus suburb, and that that requires some sort of international response, with the United States being a world leader having to participate in that. But, Brian, that doesn't mean, of course, that that response is a military strike that could further entangle us in a conflict that spirals out of control in a very complicated part of the world.
Has the president lobbied you personally in any way?
The president has not lobbied me personally. I was invited to a meeting with the vice president that I was unable to attend this week, but we do expect to meet with high-level administration officials, including Secretary Kerry and Secretary Hagel, early next week. And it's my understanding that the president has canceled a previously planned trip to be in Washington, D.C. yesterday, presumably to continue to interact with members of Congress personally.
Let me get one more constituent in here, and it's Cosme in Queens. Cosme, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. My concern is basic root cause. We do not eliminate the root cause of the problem. And the one who provides chemical weapons should be stopped rather than hitting innocent people in Syria. The problem is Saudi Arabia provided all the chemical weapons, which is already documented in many panels, and there's proof. So why can't we stop them rather than just going and striking all the Syrian innocent people and children and getting affected because of that?
Well, I'm sure that intent is not to strike innocent women and children, but Congressman, he asserts that Saudi Arabia is providing them their chemical weapons. Do you have intelligence on where they actually come from?
Yeah, I've seen no information to suggest that the chemical weapons were provided by the Saudi government or, for that matter, by any particular state actor. It is a good question that we should attempt to figure out. Now, we do know that Syria's closest allies in the region are Hezbollah in Lebanon, as well as the Iranian regime. That's problematic. Those are very bad actors. Bad actors as it relates to the United States, as it relates to Israel, Jordan, as well as Turkey, our allies in the region. We also know that Syria is very close to Putin and to Russia, and that China has been unhelpful as it relates to the UN Security Council. We don't know where the chemical weapons come from, and I don't believe that the chemical weapons use has been sanctioned. Certainly, it hasn't been sanctioned by Russia or by China. There's no evidence to suggest that it has. But they are standing in the way of collective international action, and that has been problematic.
Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from Brooklyn and Queens, thanks for coming on here and directly taking input from some of your constituents. When will you decide?
Well, there are several classified briefings that have been scheduled for early next week. I want to give the administration every possible opportunity to make its case in the same way that I will be speaking to constituents throughout the rest of this day, over the weekend, and into the early part of next week until there's an actual vote. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus are scheduled to meet with Susan Rice early next week, and then there's also another high-level classified briefing scheduled on Monday at 5 p.m. And so I want to receive as much information as I can in order to make as informed a decision as is possible, and the type of decision that is informed in a way that the seriousness of this matter requires.
And we've just been informed that President Obama will address the nation on Tuesday. And since that's New York primary day, gosh, there's not going to be much news next Tuesday around here, ha ha ha. But, of course, we will cover both the global and the local here on the show and here on WNYC. Congressman Jeffries, thanks again so much. We always appreciate your time and your openness.
Brian, always a pleasure.